Hey, we're in the final week of a series called What, How, Who, and we've been looking at the what elevation is about and clarifying what we are about as elevation. We've been looking at how we achieve what we're about and who we are as Elevation Church. And Pastor Ross Abraham, our lead pastor, he kicked off the series a couple of weeks ago looking at our what. And you may or may not remember, our what was multiplying healthy local churches. We need healthy people, firstly, who are in a healthy relationship with Jesus and each other, which then makes a healthy church so that we can then multiply and influence and reach out into our world. And we believe that the church is God's plan A. In life, we're sometimes told, have a few contingency plans. Well, God doesn't have any contingency plans. His plan was Jesus Christ and the church. And so we are plan A. Turn to the person next to you and say, your plan A. Your plan A. Last week, I spoke about the how. How do we go about this? And our how is creating environments that inspire intimacy with Christ, relationship with others, and influence in our world. Let's say it together. Creating environments that inspire intimacy with Christ, relationship with each other, and influence in our world. Everywhere we go, we take the weather. Remember I said that last week? Everywhere we go, we always take the weather. Crowded house, everywhere we go, we take the weather with us. See, we create an environment around our life, and we want to create environments not just at church. We want to create it in our home. We want to create it in our workplaces. We want to create it in the world that we live in, the places that we go to inspire intimacy with Christ, relationship with others, and influence in our world. And so I want us to pray right now, to pray for my message. God, I thank you that we are here for a reason today, Jesus. Every single person that is sitting right here, God, has been called by you. There's a plan and purpose on their life, Jesus. God, for some of us, we are yet to discover what that is. But Jesus, I believe the reason we're here is because we want to know that. So God, I pray today as we bring more clarity around who we are as Elevation Church, Jesus, that we would lean in, that we would hear from you, God. What an amazing day to be in church. Palm Sunday, the Sunday before you went to the cross, the week before you went to the cross, where people welcomed you into the city. God, we welcome you today into our lives. We welcome you into our hearts this morning, Jesus, to receive what it is for us to hear today. In Jesus' mighty name, and we all said, amen. Amen. Any time you have a collection of people that gather together, that meet regularly on a regular basis, that do life together, you will find that over time they start to develop and create a culture. They create a culture around themselves. And culture is the ideas, the customs, and the behaviors of a particular people or society. And I'm sure you would have heard about culture before, but there's all types of different cultures. There are organizational cultures. So an organization has a certain culture that it believes in. There are racial cultures, the Italian culture or a Greek culture and how they do life and the foods they eat. There's geographical cultures. Certain geographical areas are different than other areas. Melbourne's culture is different than the culture on the Gold Coast. There are political cultures. People have different beliefs politically, and it creates a culture of how they live their life. And then there are also cultures built around activities. If you were younger and you're a skater, or you were maybe a bikie, maybe in a different life. These are these cultures that people are part of. Our what, how, who statements are all around creating culture for Elevation Church. It's clarifying and reinforcing what is the culture of Elevation Church. And so these are our distinctives. These are what make us who we are. These are maybe some of the unique things about us. And this is who we are, so that if you join with us or if you're a part of us, this is what makes us Elevation. Today, I want to unpack the who aspect of this. This is our values and our behaviors. Who are we? The things that we do, the actions that we have. And in a moment, we're going to see a very short video from our lead pastor, Ross Abraham, very shortly, and he's going to unpack these in a short clip. But before we get into that, I just want to preface that with a few things. Our values are very down to earth. They're very simple. There's not a lot of Christianese talk, okay? They're very straightforward. Don't get upset because in our values we don't say love Jesus or read the Bible or pray, okay? Don't get upset if we don't say that. Do we not value those things? Or we value those things, but our what and our how, they cover those things. Relationship with intimacy with Christ, relationship with others, influence in our world, they cover those areas. So our values are very down to earth. Let's listen right now as Ross unpacks these for us.
Values. We all have them, we all live by them, even though a lot of times we don't know what they are. Values are a set of behaviors. It's what we do. Oftentimes it comes from deep within us, without even thinking about it, we act a certain way. So, who are we at Elevation? We are authentic, adventurous, fun, and spirit-led.
Thank you, Ross. I said it was short, didn't I? Thank you very much. So who are we? We are authentic, adventurous, fun, and spirit-led. Let's delve into these a little bit further, a little bit deeper, so that we can understand exactly what are we saying here today. Firstly, we are authentic. I don't know if anyone has done any traveling overseas, but in some Southeast Asian countries, you can find that they sell these big brands, these expensive merchandise, bags and watches, like really fancy brands, you know, Gucci and Tag Heuer and all those other brands that you guys know about, yeah? They sell them really, really cheap. And it's amazing the bargains you get. My wife and Gabby and I, we went to Thailand quite a few years ago before kids, and I was amazed at all these expensive watches I could get for $10. I don't know how they were managing to get these. They must have a special wholesale agreement in Asia that we don't get here in Australia. But it was amazing. I came back with hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of watches for like, you know, $50. And it was amazing. But I'll let you in on a little secret. It's all fake. In fact, some of these street vendors will even go further. They will say things like, come and buy this. They're good fakes. They're really, really good fakes. You know, we live in an age of fake. You know, if you follow social media, if you're on Instagram, we see that those things are full of faked photos that have been photoshopped. It's easy to have fake friendships. We put up facades of fakeness, you know, fake conversation. You know, there's this new thing called fake news. All these things that are fake that we find. We have fake body parts and fake goods. And all this fakeness creates a deep hunger for authenticity. It creates a feeling of loneliness within us. Craig Rochelle says this: people would rather follow someone who is always real than someone who is always right. There's nothing worse than fake, religious, just for show Christians. There's nothing. I don't know if you've ever met a fake Christian. And I don't know if I should give an example because I might step on a few toes today, but you meet them and it's hallelujah, praise Jesus, glory to God. How you going? Yeah, praise God by the power of God's grace. Everything's good. It's like, man, just tone it down a notch. I just ask you how you are. Like, it's great that you love Jesus. I love that. But let's be real. Is that how you speak to your boss on a Sunday, on a Monday or a Tuesday? Is that how you speak to your friend at the footy field when you go to watch some sports or when you catch up for dinner or lunch? See, that's not who we are. We want to be real with ourselves. We want to be real with each other, and we want to be real with God. And that's why I love Pastor Ross and Pastor Miles. They're so real and so authentic, just down-to-earth men. They're the same no matter where you see them. The people you see up here on the stage are the same people who are at home. They're the same people who are in a meeting, a church meeting or a business meeting or whatever it might be. They're the same people when they're out with friends and drinking a coffee or having dinner together. They're real people. They're authentic men of God. And I've never met such authentic, real men of God. Now, being authentic, being real, isn't saying, well, this is just how I am, so I'll do whatever I please. The authentic me is just, yeah, this is me, and it just all blabs out, you know? This is how I am. So what is authenticity? It's this. Authenticity is the inside matches the outside. Let me say it again. The inside matches the outside. I want you to close your eyes for a moment now to give you an illustration. Imagine before you, you have a bowl of fruit. And in that bowl, you have an orange and some kiwi fruit, maybe some pineapples, and you're really hungry, you're going to make a fruit salad. So you get your knife out, and you cut the pineapple in half. What do you find? A lemon. Do you? Or do you find pineapple on the inside? You then go on to the kiwi fruit. You cut the kiwi fruit in half, and lo and behold, it's an apple. No, it's not. It's a kiwi fruit. So you can open your eyes. You know, when you cut into that pineapple and that kiwi fruit, what you see on the outside is what you find on the inside. It's the inside matches the outside. See, the people who Jesus savaged the most in the Bible were the inauthentic people, the religious people, the Pharisees. Matthew 23 shows Jesus going full beast mode on these people. Let's have a look at this in this passage of Scripture. If you've got your Bible, Matthew 23, otherwise it's on the screen behind me. Then Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples. The scribes and the Pharisees are seated in the chair of Moses. Therefore, do whatever they tell you and observe it, but don't do what they do because they don't practice what they teach. Inauthentic, fake. Matthew 23, 13, 15. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. For you don't go in and you don't allow those entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You travel over land and sea to make one convert. And when he becomes one, you make him twice as fit for hell as you are. Wow. That's pretty harsh. I imagine if I brought a message like that next Sunday, my church the week after will be multiplied by thousands. No, probably have shrunken a little bit. Matthew 23, 27. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which appear beautiful on the outside, but inside are full of the bones of the dead and every kind of impurity. In the same way, on the outside, you seem righteous to people, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. See, Jesus wasn't interested in fake faith 2,000 years ago, and he's not interested in a fake faith to us today. And here's the thing we need to realize as well. The world wasn't interested in an inauthentic faith 2,000 years ago, and the world is not interested in inauthentic faith in Christians today in 2018. See, we are not people interested in the fake us. We want the real deal. The real deal. I want to know the real you. And I'm sure you want to know the real me. We want to be real people so that when people come to church, we can show the real us, our real faith, and our real love for Jesus and others. And I wonder today, how real are you? How real are you in your life, in the way that you approach your Christianity? Are you living a fake life or are you living an authentic life? So number one, if you're taking notes, we are authentic. Number two, we are adventurous. We're adventurous. You know, we're climbing the Himalayan mountains. We're scuba diving to the Mariana Trench. We're running with the bulls in Spain. We're sleeping on the plains of the African savannah. We're jumping out of trees. We're riding monster trucks and driving them into other cars. We're risking our lives. We're being adventurous. That's what you mean, don't you, Bronson? Isn't that what adventurous is? Well, if that's your life, man, good for you. That is awesome. Maybe I want a little bit of it, but that's awesome. That's great. But that's not what I'm talking about. We are adventurous is more than that. It's more than that. See, we are adventurous means that we are on an adventure with Jesus. Erwin Ralph McManus said this, to follow Jesus is to enter the unknown, relinquish security, and to exchange certainty for confidence in Him. See, we are adventurous means we're not sit on the sidelines type of people. It means that we believe we are born for more, that there is more that God has for us. There's always more. There's more. Okay, being adventurous sometimes means facing challenges, facing difficulties to overcome obstacles, but we know that there is more on the other side of the difficulties. There is more on the other side of the unknown, the uncertainty. The uncertain. G.K. Chesterton said, an adventure is only an inconvenience rightly considered. An inconvenience is only an adventure wrongly considered. An adventure is just, here's this obstacle that I am going to face, but I consider it rightly as an adventure for me and Jesus to tackle. Or here's this obstacle and it's an inconvenience. It's going to be difficult. I'm going to shrink back. I'm going to sit back. See, that's not what we're called to be. We are adventurous. The Bible is full of moments where God called people out, called people to a life of adventure, called people into the unknown. It's full of people leaving the comfort that they had and going somewhere that God's plan was taking them in their lives. Let's have a look at the Apostle Paul in Acts 20, verse 24. I do not count my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may accomplish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. He's a man on adventure. He's laying his life down. He's putting his life on the line for Jesus and to answer the calling that Christ has on him. What's God calling you to today? What adventure is He encouraging you to step in today? What is He stirring in your heart? What line is He wanting you to cross over, to cross over with Him? We are adventurous means we push ourselves and we fight against comfort. We're content. We find contentment in Jesus. We don't find it in the things of this world. We are content, but we don't let contentment get in the way or give way to being comfortable. Let me explain this for you. It means that we're willing to try new things. It means that we're willing to get out of our comfort zone. It means that we're willing to speak to someone that we normally wouldn't. It means that we're willing to step outside the boat, get into the water. We're willing to take these chances. We're willing to be bold and brave. We don't play it safe. And I wonder today if maybe in our own lives, some of us are playing it too safe. I wonder if in our own lives we're not relying on God, we're not spending time with Jesus, we're not asking Jesus, what is it you want me to do? We're thinking in our own strength, we're thinking this is what I can do in my own strength, this is a safe place for me to be, this is where I can get in my own effort and the own talents that God has given me. And Jesus is saying, yes, yes, but there is more. There is a path that we can go on together. There's an adventure that we can go through together. But it takes us to take on that mindset to be adventurous. See, we know that God wants to do more through us, more in us, more for us, and more by us in our own lives. And to do that, we have to put aside complacency and comfort at times to get a hold of what God has for us. So being adventurous means we're not just going through the motions. I want to encourage us as a church. When we come to church on Sunday, we're not just going through the motions. I'm a Christian, so I go to church. I tick that off my checklist. No, no. We come along because we believe there is a plan and purpose for our church. We believe there's a plan and purpose for our families, for our friends, for the relationships we have here in Elevation. We believe that God has more for us. There's an adventure for this church. And we also believe that we're on the greatest mission that there is, to follow Jesus Christ and to bring people into relationship with Him. So firstly, we are authentic. Secondly, we are adventurous. Thirdly, we are fun. We are fun. A mother went to wake up her son for church one Sunday morning. And she knocked on his door, and he said yes. And she opened the door, and she said to her son, "Hey, son, it's time to go to church. We need to go to church." And the son said, "I'm not going to church today. I don't want to go to church today, Mum." And the mum said, "Why is that? Give me a reason." He goes, "I'll give you two reasons. I don't like them, and they don't like me." And his mum said, "Okay, that's very interesting." And the mum replied, "Well, I'll give you two good reasons why you will go to church. Okay? I'll give you two good reasons why you will go to church. One, you're 47, and two, you're the pastor." We're allowed to have fun in church. We're allowed to laugh. We're allowed to joke around. You know, we're allowed to tease each other in a Christian, in a godly way, a Jesus way. We're allowed to tease each other. See, God created fun. He created humor. He created laughter. Okay? Newsflash, you're allowed to have fun. And so in this place, we can have a spirit of around our lives of fun, of allowing ourselves to express, "Hey, I've had a great week of fun." See, too many people think that Christianity is boring because too many Christians are boring. They think Christianity is boring because too many Christians are boring. I don't want to go to church. I know Christians. They're boring. They're always telling me what I can't do. They're dead. There's no life. They always look depressed when they come to work on Monday morning after just being at church experiencing Jesus the day before, the risen Savior. We are fun. We enjoy being around each other. We can laugh, joke, have a little bit of, you know, teasing each other, a little bit of, you know, poking and stuff like that. We smile. We're fun to be around. Don't get me wrong. We have to work hard. There are times to work hard, but we can also play hard. We want Elevation Melbourne West to be the most fun-filled church in the western suburbs of Melbourne. So when people come here like, "Hey, this is like a party. This is a fun place to be. This is great." It begs the question, when's the last time someone said to you they love being around you because you're fun? People tell me that all the time. When's the last time someone said to you, "You're fun to be around. I like to be around you. There's something about you. There's just something about your life that I love to be around. You can joke. We can have some fun together." Following Jesus is not something to endure. It is something to enjoy. It's not to endure. We are to enjoy our work with Christ. James 1:2, it's not in on the screen there, but it says to count it all joy. The context of this scripture verse is actually talking about suffering and trials. But he says to count it all joy. Whatever life throws at you, and let's be authentic, we will have good times and we will have bad times. But whatever life throws at us, we can have an attitude of joy. We choose joy. Bronson, today I'm going through it, but I choose joy. I choose the happiness that I can receive through Christ because I choose to be a fun person. We want to be people who know when to weep, when to get alongside people when they're going through things, a shoulder to cry on. We want to be people who are there when people are going through things. We also want to be there to rejoice with people when they have a celebration moment in their life, when they have a victory, when God does something in them. We are there to enjoy life with them. So one, we are what? We are authentic. We have a booklet here. I knew this would happen. We have a booklet here. When you leave today, please grab one of these booklets. It talks about our what, how, who, everything. All the points are laid out here. So please grab one of these. And I'm kind of joking, but I'm also being serious. This is the culture that Pastor Ross and Pastor Kathy have tweaked, have slightly updated, and we are going to be really focusing on this as a church in the next months and years going ahead. So we want to be authentic. We are adventurous, we are fun. Very good. And then lastly, but certainly not least, we are spirit-led. We are spirit-led. Does anyone remember as a child going to the library or someone bought a book for you and it was a choose your own adventure book?
Yeah.
Does anyone remember that? Choose your own adventures? Yeah, and so if you don't know what it is, it's a book that you read, and as you are reading the book, you come to a page on the book and basically you get to choose the next step that happens in the book. So that jumps around all the place. Let me give you an example. You might be reading a book and they're always like adventure books or mystery books. They're kind of like sort of fun books to read. And so you might be reading it, and let's just say for some reason you in the book you're reading, you end up at a fair. Think about an American fair with all the big rides that you ride on. Think about all the different food stalls that are available, you know, pulled pork and ribs and all these kind of things, burgers, corn dogs. And then think about maybe there's an animal display area where all the animals are playing. Anyway, you read down, it says you found yourself at the fair. And then it says, what do you want to do next? And then it might say, one, go on the Ferris wheel. Go to page 53. Two, go and enter a pie-eating competition. Go to page, 34. And then the last one might be, go and ride the bull, one of the animals, or go see the pigs, or whatever it is. And that might be, go to page 112. And so you choose your own adventure, and it does that throughout the whole book. You get to choose what you're going to do next. Well, as children of God, there are moments in our life when it's not about choosing our own adventure. Moments where we are spirit-led to God's adventure for our lives. God's adventure for our lives. If the kids could come out, that'd be great. Romans 8:14, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. All who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Now, what does that mean? Don't get me wrong. It doesn't mean that we don't plan in life. It doesn't mean that we are not organized people. It doesn't mean that we don't prepare in life. Yes, we do this. We don't just wing life. Can I give you a tip here? Be a planned person. Be organized in your life. You don't just wing your life because you wake up one day and discovered not much has happened. What it does mean, though, is that we intentionally listen for and we make room for God moments, for God's Spirit to direct our paths. Acts 16, 6 to 10. There's a God moment there, guys, for you to give me grace. And they went through the... There's so many towns in here that I cannot pronounce. They went through the region of some place in Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into that place, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by, they went down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Sometimes people think that being spirit-led means to just be in a place of waiting, to wait for the Spirit. Like we're just waiting somewhere. I'm in this moment and I'm camped at this place and I'm going to wait for God to come and speak to me. My life's on hold. I'm not moving. And sometimes that is true. Sometimes in our life, there will be times where God does say to us, hey, there's a time for you to just stop, spend some time here. I'm going to do some ministry into your life. I'm going to speak and minister to you, and then you just need to wait for God. But the fact is that most of the time, being spirit-led is actually just living life, doing life, kids, spouses, family, work, finances, relationships, health, church, Jesus. And then in the midst of that, so we're doing life, then in the midst of doing those things, allowing the Holy Spirit to redirect you as He prompts you to speak into your life. See, Paul was doing his thing. Paul was a great evangelist. He started a lot of the early churches, very significant and influential in the early church. And he's a preacher, so he's doing what he does. He preaches, so he's got his itinerary. I'm going to go to these towns. These are the towns I'm going to go to. These are the contacts I have in each town I'm going to meet with. Spend some time planning what I'm going to do, the people we're going to reach. And along the way, though, he's spirit-led by the Spirit of God to go somewhere else. Here's his plans. And then God interrupts him and says, hey, no, I want you to divert over here. I want you to go to Macedonia, somewhere different. See, being spirit-led is allowing for divine interruptions. Divine interruptions in your life. It's making room for the Holy Spirit to move in our everyday moments, to put our plans aside, to put what we've organized aside for a time to do God's work. It looks like this. It's spending more time with someone than you had planned to because you actually feel God saying you should spend some more time with this person. But my plans are 1 hour and then I've got all these other things to do. You know what, God, I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to be spirit-led and spend some extra time with this person. It's giving someone that money that maybe you've been putting aside to buy some clothes or some tools or a toy because you just feel like God has led you to say, hey, that money, someone else could be really blessed by that. That's being spirit-led, allowing God to interrupt your plans, to interrupt your life. And it's being at work and suddenly praying for someone. Maybe it's in the workplace or maybe it's someone else, you know, feeling led to pray for someone. And so you take a moment, you duck out for 5 minutes and you go into the lunchroom or a meeting room or some place where you can spend some time. Hey, I want to pray for this person. Suddenly something's been impressed on my life. I'm spirit led, so I'll do that right now, God. The question for us is, does the Holy Spirit lead you at times? And I fully believe every single one of us at times is led by the Holy Spirit. As we are more mature in our faith, we can sometimes hear that more clearly. But every one of us, God, the Holy Spirit speaks to us to lead us at times. He interrupts us divinely. The question for us is, do we listen to him? And then do we act on being spirit-led, what he's asking us to do? Do we say to him, Holy Spirit, this is going to make me uncomfortable. This is going to make me get out of my comfort zone, but you know what? I'm adventurous, so I'll be spirit-led and do what you're asking me to do to reach these people, to do whatever it is. So today, who are we? We are authentic. We are adventurous. We are fun. We are spirit-led. I want us to say that together. We are authentic. We are adventurous. We are fun. We are spirit-led. One more time. We are authentic. What if we took these four values and applied them not just to Sunday? We applied them not just to the church context, but we applied them to everyday life. What if we took these being authentic, adventurous, fun, and spirit-led, and we said, hey, in my home, that's the type of person I want to be. I want to be authentic with my spouse, and with my kids. I want to be real, keep it real. I want to be fun to be around. I want to be adventurous. This year, I've made a decision to be a little bit adventurous in my own life. And with my son, Ethan, I'm going to take him camping. And I did a lot of camping when I was younger, but camping's not really my thing. But I've decided, you know what? I'm going to step out of my comfort zone. Step out of what, you know, I like to do. I don't want to take my son, Ethan, camping. So I've told you now, so now I'm accountable. So you ask me in a month or two how I'm going with that. But I actually felt spirit-led by God to be more involved in his life and to do some fun things with him while he's still young. And so I've said, God, I'll do that. See, it's not just about church, at home, in our workplace, your workmates. Maybe you put up a facade at work. Maybe you need to lower that down to be more real with them, authentic. You'll be amazed at sometimes the changes it makes when you're just a real person. How you going? Well, you know what? To be honest, I'm going through some things. There's some things that are happening in my life. But I'm also a Christian, so I believe that God's going to get me through this. Authentic, being real in the relationships we have. What if we pause and ask ourselves, am I being authentic right now? Or we ask ourselves, is this a chance to be adventurous? Or we said to ourselves, this moment requires a fun person to be around. I can break some atmospheres here at the moment. What if we said, pause and ask ourselves, do I let the Holy Spirit lead me? And if I don't, I should surrender my life more to Him to allow Him to work in my life. So I want us to really grab a hold of these messages, scriptures that we've preached. And if you missed a message, I want you to go back onto our podcast, download it and listen to that. You might want to even listen to them again if you were here on every Sunday, and have a listen to those messages. Get them inside of you. Grab a hold of our who. Lean into our how, creating environments. Believe God for our what, multiplying healthy local churches. And as we do these things, individually, and as we do these things as a church body together, I really believe that God will be able to bless us and multiply our church, and God will bless and multiply our lives in a way that we could not imagine, in a way that we could not believe. I fully believe that God is standing there and He's saying, I'm looking for a people that not just are following me, but who are leaning in and saying, God, there must be more to my walk with you than just what I've been doing. That He was saying, hey, how can I lean in more, God? Well, you can lean in more by being authentic, adventurous, fun, and spirit-led. You can lean in more by creating environments in your own life, where you are, where you work, your family, and church. You can lean in by believing that God can make you a healthy person so that we can be a healthy church that multiplies in a healthy way, to lean in, to see God do all that He has planned for our lives and planned for our church.